Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. We've just sung about the Trinity. We've been studying about the work of the Trinity the last few weeks. Early in chapter 1, it talks about the work of God the Father as He elects us, He effectually calls us, He lavishes us with every spiritual blessing. Last week, we were looking at the work of God the Son as He redeems us by paying a price for us and forgives us our sins because of His death. And gives us an inheritance. And today we'll be looking at the work of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. So let's turn our attention to Ephesians 1, verses 11 through 14. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. Amen. This is God's holy, inerrant, inspired word. Let's look together to Him in prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank You for the work that You do in our lives, for Your work of sending Your Son, Jesus, to die for us, and the Holy Spirit's work of applying that salvation to us and living and moving in us and through us. So we pray today, as we think more about who You are and how You work in through us, that we would honor You with our lives and in our service to You. For we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. I mentioned a few times that on Fridays, Paul and I, we get together and we meet, we pray, we hold each other accountable to things. And, you know, if you've ever done that before with somebody, how discouraging that is, because you're asking stuff like, how good of a husband have you been this week? It's like, oh, no, I need to be a better husband. You know, how much have you read the Bible this week? Oh, well, not enough. You know, how are your sermons going? Oh, not good enough. I mean, it's just disparaging sometimes. And so finally, Paul on Friday says, let's just forget that and read the Bible and pray some. And so we did. And we read through Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 and prayed. And the good news is, as much as we beat ourselves up over all the things we're doing wrong, as long as we look at ourselves, we're just commiserating together. But when we look to God and take our eyes off of ourselves and look to Him, all of a sudden we see the great things that He will do and is doing in us. We think about the fact that He's lavished upon us every spiritual blessing. Now, if I realized that, if I really believed that as much as I say I do, that would have a profound impact on me and how I live. If I really believe that God is with me and for me and has lavished upon me every spiritual blessing. Many times I think, well, God's against me, you know, if something doesn't go right, or that I'm getting in the way of what He's trying to do. But God has lavished us with every spiritual blessing. And so we have the good news of the gospel that God is with us, He is for us, and He delights in us. How many times when we think about God do we see a heavenly Father who absolutely delights in us? That's not usually the way I think of things, but it's the way the Bible describes it. And so this chapter, we'll be talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. We've mentioned the Trinity before. There's one God, three persons. It totally blows our mind. We have no idea how that works. There's one God. He exists eternally in three persons, and each person of the Trinity is of the same substance, equal in power and glory. How that works, we have no idea. But today we're going to be focusing on the work that God does through us by the Holy Spirit. And in this passage, God calls us to be assured that if we trust Him for our salvation, He is our God and we are His people. That's an astonishing promise, but He's been giving it to His people ever since the book of Genesis. If we look to Him as our God and King, He will be our God and we will be His people. And that's the best promise we could ever hear in all of our lives. And so today, as we look at how He works that out in us, He's going to talk about the Holy Spirit as a seal or a guarantee. And throughout history, a seal has been looked at in three different ways. as something that authenticates something, as something that marks something or someone as someone's own possession, and to make something secure. So we're going to look at the Holy Spirit in these three ways this morning. First of all, he's a seal in that he authenticates that God is our God and we're his people. Secondly, it marks us as him, as his. It marks us as his treasured possession. And finally, the Holy Spirit is a seal in that he makes our salvation secure. So that's how we're going to look at him this morning. First of all, the first role of a seal, and I'm not talking about the animal, but I'm talking about the kind of emblem you would stamp on the back of a document to show that this is the real deal. That we have the assurance that God is active in the lives of his people because of the Holy Spirit. He is our proof of ownership. It's like if you're going to, if you lose a document and you lose something important, you have to show ownership before you can get a substitute for it. It's a certificate of authenticity. If you're going to go buy a famous person's autograph or some part of history that was important in the lives of the people and whatever event happened, you want to see a certificate of authenticity to show it's the real deal. This really was Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s tire that he won last year's Daytona 500 in. Whatever it might be, this really is the signature of Christopher Columbus. Who knows? But you want to see the certificate of authenticity that this is the real deal. And so the Holy Spirit does that for us. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. I'll just read these for you. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, Paul says, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and that endurance produces character, and that character produces hope, and that hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. One of the reasons that we need to know with a certificate of authenticity that we are God's people and he is ours is because things happen in our life that just don't make sense. Tragedies happen. We battle horrible diseases and we wonder why. And God says that we will be going through these horrible events that will produce hope and perseverance and that we'll have the Holy Spirit to help us through it. Many times as we see tragedies, we wonder, is God really there? But God gives us the Holy Spirit because there are going to be times in our life where we need assurance that he is there and he is real and he is for us. In times like that, we need a guarantee. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. If we are going to walk with Christ in our lives, it's going to take us through a road of suffering. And while we're on that road of suffering, we need God's reminder that this really is the way it is. That this really is the path that God's people take. It's a way of suffering. We need that reminder. We need that reminder. I have a friend back in Augusta, Georgia. I grew up with him, went to high school with him. His name is Turner Simpkins. And he and his wife, Tara, on their child Brennan's 7th birthday, found out that Brennan was diagnosed with a very rare form of leukemia. And he battled it for a while, and then he relapsed. And upon his relapse, they said, it's a terminal condition. He will not survive. So here's Turner and his wife, Tara, looking at their wonderful son. And so they fought. They had hope. They were going to glorify God in the midst of this, even if it didn't work out like they wanted to. And they went around and they finally found a hospital, St. Jude's Research Hospital in Memphis, who was willing to try an unusual treatment for this child. And the good news is Brennan has come through that now. That was back in 2009. And it's a great story. Turner is a musician. He wrote a song called Possibilities because of it. And Darius Rucker, the recording artist, heard about his story and recorded it. Now, it's a great story as you look at it 6 years later. But in the midst of it, there's a lot of wondering, God, why? You know, it's one thing if something happens to me, but why my 7-year-old son? But in the midst of that story, God has to remind us that He is with us and that He's for us, to authenticate that He is our God. So the promise that He made to Abraham, given many times since then, I will be your God, you'll be my people, and I will bless you more than you could ever imagine. We need to be reminded of that, and that's one of the ways the Holy Spirit is a guarantee. Another reason the Holy Spirit is a guarantee, the second way, is to show that we are God's possession. We are God's personal property. So Ben just had, well, Kirsten just had Jude. Ben, it was a rough delivery for you as well. I know that. But now your life is going to change because you're going to start doing things you haven't done before, like watching Pixar movies, like Toy Story. Now, I had never seen movies like that until Robert was born, but Robert was born in 1995, and that was the same year Toy Story came out. Raise your hand if you've seen that movie. All right, most of you have. Ben, was that your hand up there too? Good. All right, good training so far. All right, Andy, the kid, had at that time, before Buzz Lightyear entered the universe, Woody as his prized toy. And what did Andy do? He wrote his name on Woody's foot. Remember that? And so that was a source of great delight for Woody, the toy, because his owner, Andy, took such great pride in him that he would put his name on Andy's boot. And that's what God does for us when He gives us the Holy Spirit. Andy delighted in calling Woody his toy, just like God delights in calling you and me His child. And Woody, the toy, got his significance from the fact that Andy did that and was delighted in him, in the same way that we should get our significance from the fact that God delights in us. And even though our world goes upside down when Buzz Lightyear shows up and swerves in our lane and does all these bad things to us, we still can rejoice that we are God's and He takes great delight in us. God brings us trials in our life to give us more of Himself. And if you've gone through horrible, tough times, you know this is true. You know God better because of what you go through than if everything was all hunky-dory and would have gone just the way you would have planned it 20 years ago. But God gives us trials so that He can give us more of Himself, and that is our purpose, to know God and to receive Him and receive Himself, even if it takes difficult things. And we can't look to ourself. We need to look to God to help us. I want to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, a longer verse, longer passage. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. It's about two paragraphs, so hang in there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we shall share abundantly in comfort also. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, we also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. And this is Paul writing about a previous missionary journey. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Again, this is Paul's reason for the sufferings he went through. That was to make us not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. You must also help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. This is Paul talking about, in many ways, all of our lives' stories. that God puts us through the ringer so that it would make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises people from the dead. What is it that you're going through right now that you're thinking, there's just no way out of this? What things are you going through that you might wonder, God, if you are really alive and well, where are you? Where the heck are you when little Brennan Simpkins in Augusta, Georgia goes through leukemia at the age of 7? But God says, I'm right here. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit is right here in us and working through us and guiding us through those trials. And he does these trials so that we will take our eyes off ourselves and put them squarely on God. Because as long as we look to ourselves to solve the problems and to figure out things, we're only going to continue our despair. But when we look to Christ as the source of our comfort and strength and the source of our wisdom, then we can start taking comfort in whatever he puts in our path. So the Holy Spirit, a seal for us, he authenticates that God's our God, that we're his people. He also is a sign, just like little Woody shoe had Annie written on it. It's a sign and a mark that God has that we are his and he delights in us. And finally, he makes our salvation secure. He makes our salvation secure. If you look at verse 14 back in Ephesians 1, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. That word guarantee, it was originally a Hebrew word that entered the Greek language, and it basically means an engagement ring. Just like when a man asks a woman to marry him, he gives her an engagement ring to say, it's not just talk. It's the real deal. And just as real as this ring is for you, so is my intention to marry you. It's a guarantee. It's a foretaste and a pledge for what God is going to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us and giving us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. As real as God is, he guarantees that those who look to him as their God and King will receive salvation, will receive eternal life. And many times we just think that's too good to be true. And we think, man, if I was really a Christian, would I really think that way? But the Holy Spirit is a deposit, it's a down payment, it's a guarantee that we can take to the bank, that when God calls us home, we will be with him forever in paradise. We don't have to fear death. We have a guarantee, a down payment by the one who went through death for us, before us, so that we can know him. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. And once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And just as sure as those words are true, you can guarantee that if you are a Christian today and trust Christ for your salvation, you will be in heaven with him forever. It's the seal of authenticity. It's the guarantee. It's the engagement ring that we can trust. So it shouldn't surprise us to see, as much as the Bible calls us to examine ourselves to see if we really have faith, that the Bible also follows that up with the assurance that if we really do trust in Christ, we will be his forever. John 6, verses 39 through 40, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of those that he has given me. This is Jesus talking. But raise it up on the last day, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. My friends, do you look on the Son of God and believe in him as your Lord and Savior? Then no matter what the valley of the shadow of death looks like where you are now, we have a guarantee that God is with us, God is for us, and in the end, we're going to win. And if it looks messy now, it's to get our eyes off of this earth and onto heaven, because that's what we were made for. As we think about all the horrible things that happens in this earth, and there's wonderful things in this earth as well, but the trials and sufferings that go on, we think about our brothers and sisters on the other side of Corpus, we think about our brothers and sisters on the other side of the world who are getting killed by ISIS, whatever the situation might be, God's saying, take your eyes off of this world, because this world is not what it's all about. It's all about heaven. That's what we're made for. And we have a guarantee that we are His. John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, Jesus says. No one will snatch them out of my hand. And I feel like I'm always trying to jump out of that hand. But fortunately, God's hand is bigger than the universe. I cannot do it. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. We are not able to jump out of Jesus' hand. Sometimes we try. Sometimes we think we want to. But if He is our God and we're His people, it will be like that forever. God knows us. God calls us. And He who begins a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. The last long verse I'm going to read to you this morning is from Romans 8, verses 29 through 30. And he's going to talk about foreknowing people. About foreknowing people. I wish Jean Newberry was here, because she could actually tell you I'm telling the truth here. But in many languages like French, there are two different words for the idea of know. So in French, you have two verbs, savoir and connaître. Savoir means to know about something. Connaître means to know someone or something. I know you personally. A year ago, we were receiving the eConnects from Southside. We've been reading about you guys for a year and a half. I knew about y'all, but now I know you. I've gone from the knowing about, savoir, to the I know you, connaître. And the same thing's true in Greek. There's two words. There's one that means I know about something, and there's one that means I have a relationship with you. And so the word meaning I have a relationship with you is what is used by Paul in this verse, Romans 8, 28 and 9 and 30. For those I foreknew, for those to whom I had a relationship with, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. There's a chain that cannot be broken. If God has justified you, declared you not guilty because of the work of Christ in your life, and you're embracing him with faith, if that has happened, you will also be glorified with him in heaven. It's a chain that cannot be broken. It's not like he who began a good work in you will just suddenly quit and walk away. Who are we kidding? Jesus, who died for us, is not going to go, I'm tired of them. No, he's going to complete that work. And that's why John can write these words in 1 John 5:13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Now, I know I scared the mess out of us a few weeks ago as we went through the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and all those verses about many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, did we not go on mission trips and do all these things and teach Sunday school? And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. And it's good for us to examine ourselves. But we need to know the good news of the gospel, that if we approach him, seeking his kindness, seeking his mercy, seeking his forgiveness, seeking him to be our Lord and Savior, he loves to forgive repentant sinners like you and me. And he promises, just like a seal, that we will be his forever. So sealing us with the Holy Spirit answers our needs. It assures us of God's favor. It assures us that we belong to him. And it assures us that God, who started a good work, is not going to leave us hanging dry, that we can look forward to being with him in heaven. And as we take our eyes off of this fallen world and put our eyes on God, on heaven, that's where we understand what it means to walk with Christ. Just as a down payment promises a load will be paid, so the Holy Spirit guarantees that we will be with him in heaven. He's our seal, authoritative, ownership, guarantee. And as we think about why he does that, all these verses we've talked about so far have one thing in common, that we would be holy and blameless in his sight. Going back to chapter 1, verse 4 of Ephesians. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. He has a purpose for us being his treasured possession, that we would live for his glory. We see it in verse 12. God does this so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And at the end, in verse 14, that we are his possession to the praise of his glory. God, the triune God, the Father, calls us, lavishes riches upon us. The Son dies for us, redeems us. The Holy Spirit applies that to our life and is a seal for us so that we can live to the praise of his glory. And until we take our eyes off of our situations on earth and put them squarely on heaven, walking with God in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, that's what it will take for us to live for the praise of his glory. Let's pray together and ask for his help. Our Father and our God, we know it's so easy for us to focus on ourselves because that's just what sinful man does. And as we seek to fight against that, to live as a son and daughter of God, we pray that you would take our eyes off of ourselves, off of our situations, off of the peer pressure, off of the temptation to please man instead of please you, and help us to look to you as our King. For it's what you think of us that matters. And it's what you call us that matters. We might call us all sorts of things, but you call us prized child, and help us see ourselves in that life. If there's anyone here who does not know you as a child of God, we pray that you would give them faith, help them see the consequences of dying a death outside of your love and grace. But for those who do, give us confidence that we can look to you forever in paradise. And we pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.